You're a little older and a lot wiser. The future is yours. Define aging on your own terms. Welcome to AARP Without Limits with your host, Mike Olander.
Hello and welcome. This is AARP Without Limits. We are disrupting aging one show at a time. All of our episodes are available anytime on demand at WPTF.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. I'm your host, Mike Olander of AARP North Carolina. We've got a great show for you yet again, folks. State Representative Jared Lowry, representing the state's 47th House District, is with us to talk about his path to the state legislature, the issues important to his constituents, and his leadership of some legislation that will allow working North Carolinians to save for retirement. But before we get to him, ladies and gentlemen, as always, we love to start here at AARP Without Limits informally with a little chit-chat. And here we are, Mike, our second show together. Mr. Mike Davis, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, and they said it wouldn't last. Here we are. Look at this.
That's right. How are you doing? How's your week going?
Man, it's going well. Mm-hmm. No complaints. My wife is sick, unfortunately, but beyond that, you know, we're determined she is going to survive this and beat it, and she'll get over it, whatever it is, flu or something that's going around. Yeah, we're doing great.
There's a lot of that going around, and best wishes for her to get over. I know a lot
of people are sick.
Right now. Now, of course, our show, Mike, is pre-recorded. The time that we are recording this, ladies and gentlemen, it is just 4 days since daylight saving began or ended. How does it go? I don't remember.
Yeah, daylight savings time began.
Began. Yeah, I always get that mixed up here. How are you adapting? How are you guys adapting, flu symptoms aside?
Yeah, you know, well, it hasn't mattered much to my wife since she's been in bed all week. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm not sure she's noticed the difference. For me, I am loving it. I love daylight savings time. And really enjoying having more light in the evenings once I get home. So, yeah, I enjoy this time of year. How do you like it?
I'm really glad you asked because I'm one of the people who like it, too.
Yeah.
Yes. And I know our guest is from a rural district. It'll be interesting to hear what his take is on it, if we have time to ask him that question.
Yeah.
But I love it. And you know what? It's just maybe it's still the kid in me that loves the changes. You know, it was a big deal. I grew up in Jersey, and the seasons are a bit more defined accordingly, you know, spread throughout the year, about 3 months each season. And, daylight saving, that moving the head of the clocks was like such a big deal in the Jersey Shore because it was like, okay, it's official now. And then, you know, we're just waiting until Memorial Day when all the things at the Jersey Shore opened up and we were full on in summer, right?
Get daylight savings time, it's like spring has arrived.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So bring it on. Once we get our first snow or whatever, then I'm done. I say, okay, bring on spring. So I'm glad it's here.
And you know what's interesting too? I got to share this with you, Mike.
Yeah.
I have always, in my 50 years of life now, I have never been a winter person. This was the first time when the cold weather rolled in, and I actually said, you know what? I'm going to kind of enjoy this winter.
Right.
And I'm so glad I said that, because I came in with a positive attitude, and we had a real winter here, North Carolina-wise,
anyway. We actually did this year, and a couple of snow events here in the Raleigh area, which was unusual. I mean, it had been several years since we had had any. Yeah, so we got a taste of it, and now I'm done. Let's move on. I enjoyed it while it was here. The first one was pretty significant, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's good. So spring is here, and I don't know about you, but one of the ways I like to enjoy the seasons is with, I've got certain rituals. Mm-hmm. I've got certain movies and certain TV shows I only like watching during certain seasons.
Yeah.
So it's funny, I had last weekend, I promise this is the end of this, and then we'll get to the good stuff, ladies and gentlemen. Last weekend, I'm like, what am I going to watch? So I'm looking at Prime, I'm looking at Netflix, and then I see The French Connection, one of my favorite movies, right? R.I.P. Gene Hackman, of course.
Yes.
But it's a winter movie for me. And if you know that movie, it takes place in the cold. In fact, that movie is known. The cast hated filming some of the scenes because it was brutally cold that winter in New York.
Yeah.
And some of the scenes when they're on stakeouts and you can see them stamping their feet outside and all that, they were really cold out there.
Yes.
So I love to watch that movie when it's cold out. And last week I'm like, French Connection. I'm going, man, but it's a little too warm outside. I can't do this. I think I missed the boat this season. I'm going to have to wait until next year to partake.
Oh, you can do it. Come on, break it out.
Maybe if we get a real cold snap.
turn up the AC and enjoy. That's what you do.
Maybe I'll do that. Anyway, enough of that. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for letting me indulge in that. I'm really pleased to have on the show today a state representative from the North Carolina House representing the 47th District, Mr. Jared Lowry. And I really appreciate him being on because of a couple of reasons, and we're going to get into this in the course of the interview. But I have to admit, there's another podcast, and we've had Brian Lewis on the show who hosts a podcast called Do Politics Better. And I was fascinated by the interview that he did with our guest today. Really, really got into depth. And we don't have a full hour like Brian did to get into this, but we're going to touch on it a bit. But I was just fascinated with his life story and how he got into North Carolina politics and what's important to him and how important family and his home district is, his background, his heritage, and so forth. And so it gives me great pleasure to welcome to the show Representative Jared Lowry. Sir, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. It's a great opportunity, and I appreciate it. Thank you.
So we've got a lot to talk about, you know, what's going on in your district and what's going on in the legislature now. But first, let's get to know you a little bit, if we could. If you could tell us a bit about your background, your family, how you ended up serving in the state legislature.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I am Jared Lowry. I'm from Robeson County. And for those who don't know, if you ever take 95 South, we're the last county before you get into South Carolina. So when you see all those signs that says, welcome to South of the Border, that's kind of where I'm from. I graduated from UNC Pembroke, joined the United States Marine Corps actually right out of high school before I went to college. And I am a member of the Lumbee Tribe of North Carolina. I'm the only member of the General Assembly who's American Indian. And I actually served on my tribal council for 6 years before I, you know, got into, I guess I'd call it partisan politics. But I tell you, I have always been interested in serving my community and serving my people and serving the country from a young age. Have a lot of family members who served in the military. So growing up, I kind of always knew I wanted to go. You know, I wanted to serve. Didn't think I'd serve in the Marine Corps, but I did. And, you know, the Marine Corps actually helped me go to college. So that's excellent. Really been opened a big door for me. And when I had the opportunity to back in 2015 to kind of serve a little more and run for my tribal council seat in the community I lived in, I did that. And that was a good experience, you know, for 6 years. And I can tell you, being the youngest member of any legislative body means you're going to get all the work.
Is that how it works?
That's the way it is. You know, especially when everybody else is retired. Most everybody's retired. And they said, hey, listen, you know, we need to do some work for us. And so it's that was a very good learning experience. I think actually helped prepare me for the General Assembly. I actually ran for General Assembly back in 2018. Unfortunately, I lost, but I came back in 2022 and won again. And I have really enjoyed just serving. I've really enjoyed getting to know more people. I tell you this, the greatest thing about campaigning, in my opinion, is going down roads you didn't even know existed. You know, because you visit parts of the community and parts of the county you've never been there before. And it gives you an excuse to go places you've never been before. And so I enjoy it. I really do.
Oh, excellent. And to hear about the issues that are going on, very local issues. Yeah. Within your district as well. I want to touch on something really quick. Just quick update the status of the federal recognition of the Lumbee Tribe. Where is that at right now?
So right now, for the first time ever, we have a sitting president who signed an executive order, or memorandum, I should say, that stated that it is the policy of the federal government that the Lumbee Tribe be fully recognized. So the Lumbee Tribe was partially recognized back in 1950s, with the Lumbee Act, where we got one foot in and one foot out. So right now, our entire delegation in the United States Congress is just about unified. Senator Tillis and Representative Hudson have been really, you know, fighters for us, and we feel pretty confident that Congress is going to, you know, with the support of the executive branch and the president now, is going to pass full federal recognition. So I expect it to happen. I would love to see it happen by the end of the year. That's what I'm hoping. I actually have my hopes up for the first time, because after 130 years, you can't really get your hopes up. But I have them up right now. So I feel pretty confident.
Excellent. Well, that'll be quite an event when that happens. And I hope we will have the opportunity to be able to celebrate with you there as well.
Absolutely. You know, Lumbee full recognition is going to mean a lot for the entire community, not just the Lumbee Tribe. But if you live in Robeson, Scotland, Hope, Cumberland County, or Southeast North Carolina, it's going to be big.
Okay. Before I get any further, I have to ask you, you've had an opportunity that the vast majority of state representatives will never have, which is to be a speaker at your party's national convention, formally nominating Donald Trump this last year. How did that come about, and what was it like to be on that level, that kind of national stage?
Well, I tell you, as a politician, mm-hmm. Public servant, I've spoken in front of crowds before, but I've never been on a stage that big with that many cameras and lights. so let me just say it was nervous. It was nerve-wracking. But when you walk out on stage, at that point, you're no longer nervous. And mm-hmm. it's kind of a funny experience. But I reached out to Chairman Michael Whatley mm-hmm. of the National Republican Party, and I said, Mr. Chairman, here, because he used to be the chairman of North Carolina.
That's right. Yeah.
I said, listen, if there's any way I can help, any way I can be a part of, you know, any way I can support the national convention, I would like the opportunity. Now, I wasn't expecting to actually be on stage to actually be able to speak. I was mm-hmm. hoping to, you know, just be there and maybe help with some credentialing or whatever it is that volunteers do.
Right.
But he reached out to me and he said, all right, well, give me a couple weeks. And so about 2 weeks later, I got an email asking if I would, you know, like to lead off the Pledge of Allegiance on the first day of the National Convention. And obviously I said yes. Strange thing, not strange, but unique. I couldn't tell nobody. So everybody back home, nobody knew until I walked out on stage.
Really?
Yeah, I could not tell a soul. Like it was one of them confidential things. You couldn't tell anybody. So a lot of, other than my immediate family, when I walked out on stage for the very first time, was the first time first time the folks in my community knew I was going to be there. Mm-hmm. And I tell you, that day getting treated like a VIP, mm-hmm. you know, when you're sitting in the speaker's lounge with all these senators and governors that you see on TV, mm-hmm. or famous people like Lee Greenwood that you see on TV, that was a very unique experience for especially somebody like me who's from rural eastern North Carolina, you know, to be surrounded by people who you only see on Fox News or CNN or wherever they may be. Mm-hmm. But it was a great experience, you know, walking out there. You know, I led us in the pledge, but they still make you practice. Like there's a room where you go into and you practice with a teleprompter, mm-hmm. and they actually make you go out the morning before and do the same thing. You walk out on stage with all the teleprompters and you rehearse. But walking out on stage with a sense of pride that, wow, I get to be here in front of millions of people. I mean, for me, I mean, it was a great experience.
Mm. Incredible honor, for sure.
Absolutely. For sure. You know, things that I wish my grandparents could have seen.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah. We're going to really, really interested in digging into deeper conversation with you after this break. This is AARP Without Limits. We'll be right back.
AARP is working hard to make sure people in North Carolina are getting the most out of life. Whether it's helping you stay healthy, save more money, care for loved ones, or simply have some fun, AARP is making a difference in communities across the state. You have a wise friend and fierce defender with AARP. Learn more about progress being made for older adults in the state by listening to AARP Without Limits. You can find the latest episodes of AARP Without Limits wherever you listen to your podcasts.
And we are back. This is AARP Without Limits. Just a reminder, folks, we always love to hear from you. If you have a question, a comment, a recommendation, or a suggestion for a future guest or topic, please send us an email, aarpwithoutlimits@aarp.org. We've been speaking today with North Carolina State Representative Jared Lowry. He represents the state's 47th House District. We've been getting into a bit of his background and the opportunity he had to kick off the RNC National Convention last year. I want to talk a little bit about some important state legislation right now that you are helping lead on. I know one issue that is very important to you, sir, is retirement savings. You've taken the lead on a bill which AARP North Carolina strongly supports, which is the Work and Save bill. This will create a new option for people who currently don't have a retirement savings plan through their employer. If you could tell folks about that bill.
Yeah. So North Carolina Work and Save is very important. We have nearly 2 million North Carolinians who work, you know, they're working folks, who don't have an opportunity to save for retirement, you know, at work. In the United States, we are about 15 times more likely to save for retirement if you have an automatic paycheck deduction. So right now, we have about 2 million people who might really only be relying on Social Security as retirement. In North Carolina, the average Social Security income is about $20,000 a year. But when you take healthcare cost and the cost of living for having a home, you know, prescriptions, you're talking about $24,000 it costs a person to live. So Social Security isn't enough to get you by. But what North Carolina Work and Save would do is create a public-private partnership that will allow these small businesses, these small employers, to be able to sign up and allow their employees to be able to save through a paycheck deduction at work at no cost to the employer, at no cost to the taxpayer. But it will allow, hopefully, if we could get these 2 million North Carolinians to save for retirement, just $150 a month, it could save the state, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars a year in social services that's provided to folks who aren't prepared for retirement. Mm-hmm. And for me, as a lawmaker, a policymaker, that is what is important. You know, we have to be very prudent. We have to be financially responsible with the taxpayer dollar. And if we can get folks to invest in the front end that saves the taxpayer hundreds of millions of dollars on the back end, we should do it. And that's money that could be spent on teacher pay raises, you know, building roads and bridges, you know, parks. But it's really about making sure people are prepared for those golden years of life. And when you get to that point, you should be able to enjoy it. You shouldn't have to worry about, you know, paying the light bill or, you know, buying prescriptions.
Mm-hmm. And one thing that AARP really likes about this is the portability of it, because the workforce is the landscape has changed so much over the decades. And as you know, with this, in the states that have done the work and save types of legislation, somebody may be in a certain type of job now, they have a work and save account, they wind up getting a job at a different place later that does offer them a retirement plan, they can just roll in their work and save right into that, which winds up being a great thing for them.
Yeah, and it's a great asset for that small business as well. You know, if a small mm-hmm. business has opted into it, it's just another benefit that they can have to recruit or retain employees. But you're right, if employee leaves and goes to a different company who has maybe a 401k, they can roll it over, or they can actually go to another business that is opted in to work and save, mm-hmm. and they can continue paying right in. Mm-hmm. So the money, the account actually follows the person. Mm-hmm. It doesn't actually follow the business. You don't have to roll it over. You know, if you're going from business to business who is opted in to work and save, it follows the person. I think that is really good for that individual, because it will encourage them to continue saving. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what the whole crux of this, what we really want to do is get people prepared. And, you know, at $25 a week, $50 a week, $150 a month could ensure that a person can live a decent, happy lifestyle. And I think that's what we want for all our, you know, all our retirees. You know, I think it's important that North Carolina just isn't the best place to live, work, worship, and raise a family, but is the best place to retire. Mm-hmm. And work and save will ensure that North Carolina is a top state to retire in.
Yeah, and that's what our goal at AARP is to make North Carolina the best state for people to live and to age. And I know for some people here, and they're like, oh, $150 a month, that's not a lot to save. Well, for people who are living on a pretty low income, you got to start somewhere, right? And this provides that opportunity to have some savings, savings vehicle. What's the status of the bill now, and what are your expectations or hopes for the movement we'll see this year?
So this year, we've started off with a good amount of support. I have some fantastic primary sponsors. We actually heard the bill in the insurance committee last week and had a discussion on it. Really good feedback from the members. There are a lot of members who are interested in it. And I tell you, really explaining to folks why people need to be prepared for retirement mm-hmm. is really starting to, I think, let that light bulb go off in some legislators' mind, because you might not think about retirement, but we all should. Mm-hmm. And so we've heard it in insurance. Committee, I got a real good feeling that we're going to this week vote it out of an insurance committee mm-hmm. And then go to appropriations, because there is a $1 million appropriation there to get the fund started.
Right.
And with that, I hope that we can include it in this year's budget and kick it off, you know, at the beginning of next year. I spoke with the treasurer's office about it, you know, managing the fund, and they are supportive of it. And it's the first time we had a treasurer who is really supportive of it. So that's
yes.
great to have.
Yep.
But I say this one example that I used this past week in the insurance committee. is that I spoke of an elder who is 100 years old. We are turning 101-year-old in North Carolina this year. As part of that greatest generation, you know, that generation that stormed Normandy and climbed Iwo Jima, that his Social Security is $900 a month, but his light bill for March was $955
a month. Oh, my gosh.
Wow. And so, you know, but that's his only income. Mm-hmm. So what do you do? And if you got seniors who are living like that, I think that, you know, that one instance alone, that one example alone, should really start to open up some eyes. Because, you know, with inflation, the way it's been crazy the past few years, you know, it's starting to stretch those folks who can make it from paycheck to paycheck. Mm. And so this is an option for, and like you said, you could save for 10 years and be prepared. You could save for 20 years. And there's folks who are entering the workforce today who could save for 30 years, you know, if Work and Save is implemented. So it has the opportunity to really change some lives. And I really feel that this is the year we get it in the budget and the House side. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, we're going to definitely keep our fingers crossed and keep working towards that happening. I got to ask you about Hurricane Helene recovery. I know that's a top priority for all of state government right now. What's your assessment of how the legislature has been taking that on?
So I'm from southeastern North Carolina, and we experienced, you know, Hurricane Matthew and Hurricane Florence. Mm-hmm. And still, with Hurricane Matthew hitting in 2016, we still have over 1,000 families that are still in hotels. And I really believe that this General Assembly wants to make sure that we get Hurricane Helene recovery right. Mm-hmm. And I think that the General Assembly and the governor's on the same page. You know, there has been some folks saying, you know, well, we need to throw billions of dollars at it, but we have to be prudent. We have to be respectful of that taxpayer dollar, but make sure that we're efficient. And I think, you know, we've already appropriated $1 billion towards it. We're working on another $500 million package. And why it's important to continue to go in those increments is, number one, we need to make sure the money's spent correctly. We don't want to run into another Hurricane Matthew where we end up hundreds of millions of dollars in shortfall. But we want to make sure it's used correctly. When we want to make sure that when the federal government finally comes in and provides some assistance, you know, the big dollar assistance, that we haven't depleted all our state resources. Because the recovery, North Carolina can't do it ourselves. We need the federal government to come in and assist the way they normally always do, and we're still waiting. I feel really good about our delegation has been working other members of Congress and the president to get the funds. But I think that's something for the state that we have to get everybody to understand, is that our resources is limited here in the state. We can't run deficits like the federal government can, but we do have a rainy day fund, and we're spending that rainy day fund. We just can't spend it all because, unfortunately, we live in Hurricane Alley, and we could have another one this year, and we need to make sure the state is prepared. So that's the reason you see, you know, somebody may say we need $10 billion, but we're only allocating $500 million. You're right, $500 million now, and then $500 million in a few months. You know, let's make sure the money's been spent correctly and efficiently.
Wow. Well, appreciate you being on to talk with us today. Are you on social media? How can people follow you?
I am. You can follow me on X at the_real_JML. And I am on Facebook at Jared Lowry for NC House 47. I have actually started doing weekly videos to try to keep people, you know, be transparent.
Great. Uh-huh.
And, you know, they're 90-second to 2-minute videos just telling you the votes I've taken in the House this week or the bills were introduced. So please like, follow, share, as they say. And same way, you know, with me as with you. And if you ever have any questions, comments, concerns, just send me a message, and I try my best to get back to you as soon as I can.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for being with us, and great seeing you again, as always. It's good to see your representative. Oh, that is a wrap-up, folks. What a great conversation we have. I want to thank Jared Lowry for being our guest today. Thank you to Mike Davis for good conversation and production. Thank you for listening. This has been AARP Without Limits. I'm Mike Olander with AARP North Carolina. We'll see you next time.